Pod Culture, episode 389, The Good, The Bad, and The Barrelman, part B. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
Hi, everybody. This is John Barrelman. You're listening to Pod Culture, and don't miss it, or I'm going to get you.
Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed each week. If you've missed the first half of this show, don't worry. Head back to the website, www.podculture.net, and grab the first half. And now, on with the second half of Pod Culture. Okie dokie, we've talked about the good, We've talked about the bad, And now we're going to take them both, and there you have another episode. But now we've got the awesome, and you know, we, as bad as we might have made it sound with Fandom Fest, there was a lot of awesome to be seen and experienced at this convention.
Yes.
Andy, you want to talk about something awesome, or...
Adam Wynn is the awesome, so...
Yeah, we already determined Adam Wynn. Spoilers.
Yes. I did appreciate what has been mentioned. The cosplay, the costuming, wasn't quite on Dragon Con par.
No.
But there were some darn creative people in force.
Mm-hmm. Oh, kidding.
That's what I've seen.
There is a great... female Thor Loki pair.
I saw them.
They came to my photo booth line.
I saw a Batman that for a few minutes I thought was Glenn. He had a beard. You know, I thought it was Glenn.
There's a good Spider-Man too.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really good costumes. I was impressed.
I saw, speaking of like odd friends in line, I was in line to ask the question of Gillian Anderson with this girl who had a Union Jack Doctor Who shirt on. Mm-hmm. And I said, love your shirt. And I forget what Doctor Who shirt I had on. And she said, love your shirt too. And we got to talking. And like over her shoulder, I said, turn around, look at that. There was a little girl as Amelia Pond. An 11th Doctor who was maybe 8, 10 years old. And who was, I'm assuming, their mom, as old Amy in The Girl Who Waited.
Oh, that's great.
With all, like, the armor and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I missed that one.
She was sitting right next to us at the Doctor Who panel. So I'm like, look at that. And you're like, oh, that's cool.
But, I probably saw a different costume.
No, I pointed them out to you. But oh my gosh, I like the family costumes. I saw more of that than I've seen at other places. Like, the groups of people together in costumes.
Yeah, this was more... family friendly, maybe?
Depends on the panel you went to.
Family friendly, and there's a whole nude body painting thing.
Right.
And
there was nude body painting?
Yes, there was.
Yeah. Actually, well,
son of a bitch!
Well, didn't they cancel that? Sorry.
Did they?
No. Saturday night they had the hentai panel.
Oh, really?
Geez. I'm not joking. God. Yeah, it's like, really? Boy.
Wow.
Yeah,
tentacle porn.
I didn't participate in any of that, but it was
gross
interesting.
Kidoji.
Yeah, when I was younger, maybe. It was interesting that they had an after hours 18 plus selection of things to do. I think that's good. I think it has its place, and it's good to have a family friendly atmosphere during the day when the kids are awake. And then everybody can party and do all their weird stuff at night.
And there's the Dragon Con does have a kids track of stuff, or a YA track of stuff to do.
And there's a lot of 18 plus stuff going on.
I'm sure.
Come in, you should be prepared.
Yeah, but yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I like seeing all the kids.
Well, you are comparing because we really do want this to become,
I guess,
a good big time con that can pull off a guest list like they had this year. Every year.
But Dragon Con's been doing it a lot longer, so they have a lot more tips and tricks under their belts.
That's true. The best way to learn how to do a con is by going to them.
Right. Yep.
And he's been to plenty of them. Yeah. I know, because I run into him at all of them. The guy throws this con, and he's like, oh, you're here too? I know he goes to the cons. Mm-hmm. He knows cons. Mm-hmm. But how can you really be prepared for something this big, something that's doubled in size? No. You don't know how many people are going to show up. You can hope, you can assume, but you can't know until they're there.
Does anybody know the numbers on pre-sale tickets as opposed to at the doors? Because that says a lot, too, because you might not plan for a lot of people. If a lot of people don't pre-order, you're thinking, okay, 10,000 people, and then 20,000 people show up at the door. And it's like, then you don't know.
Let's get to the awesome. Let's keep going with the awesome.
No,
there was a ton of variety there.
Yeah, no kidding. I
mean, there was the gaming tracks. Like you said, there were things for cosplay. There were people talking about making cosplay, different panels and things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you were into anime, if you were into lots
steampunk.
Of different types of games. Steampunk.
Mm-hmm. Lots of steampunk stuff.
Yeah. They had the... some people from the Louisville Arcade Expo were there.
Right.
They had set up with retro games, and you could play the Virginia tournaments.
I completely missed that.
See, I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
It was right across the hall from the vendor area in the Galt House.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice the Galt House. I was stuck in the convention center.
Yeah, I didn't even see that.
I got pictures of it. But
okay.
Yeah, they had some projector screens and where you could play on the big screen, and then they had a whole bunch of gaming systems lined up. They had...
Yeah.
Retro games.
Oh, I would have liked that.
The gaming was okay. I think, you know, again, directions were bad. But, you know, these are gamers. I'm talking board games, some card games, role-playing games.
Two midgets shitting in a bucket.
There was LARP.
There was a LARP going on.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a LARP going on. I got invited to that because I was wearing a t-shirt that said, oh, you know, it's like, no, my wife would, yeah, and she listens to this. Hon, it was a vampire LARP, and you would have never let me hear the end of it had I played.
I thought there was a bunch of, you know, people LARPing as gymnasts or something.
Oh,
you know,
those poor little girls in their tightly round bone.
But, you know, I discovered a game that has been around for a while that I never knew anything about. I literally played this game for 5 hours Saturday until they shut down the game called Cards Against Humanity.
No.
Two midgets shitting in a bucket.
Bingo, and you just said that.
That
is the most fun I've ever had with just a throwaway kind of game.
Yep.
Yeah,
I turned them on to that.
It is
the core.
It is so much fun.
Yep.
And
here.
When they found out I was an English teacher,
it was even better.
They determined that we were going to end the game on the haiku.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I gave out of 8 people playing, 2 people actually pulled off the 5-7-5 format. All props to them.
Yep.
Nice.
So I got to judge the end game there.
Nice. Yeah. We played that over at Adams. And
everybody was
there. We need to do it again.
Whenever someone sat out, we had a bottle of rum that was syrup. No, it. Yeah.
Bottle of water.
Yeah.
Water, of course.
Dark water.
It was bourbon, actually. It was bourbon.
Oh, well, in Kentucky, that is water.
Yeah. But, you know, that every time we started playing a card for the bourbon, and that random card off the top of the desk, bourbon won.
Oh, yeah.
Bourbon won, and we would all do the con, bourbon!
Oh, my God.
Every time we won, it was...
Nice.
That was good times.
Maybe
it was a bourbon speaking, too, but, you know.
You have enough bourbon, anything's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the people at the con were good. These are good people.
They're good people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a much calmer crowd than the, like, Dragon Con. Not
Thank
near,
God.
There's no kid.
Oh, man.
That's my haiku.
Yeah. I did not get... One of the guys playing took pictures of it, and I know this... I got an email from this guy... If I can get some of those pictures that he took of some of our cards.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What was, what was my favorite one of the time that we played? It was, what was the last thought going through Michael Jackson's head when he died in my car was getting hilariously gang-banged by the Blue Man Group. Yep, Mom, that's an actual card printed. Like, I didn't write that down. It's a great game. I've played it before. And for the next game that I've actually got some co-op games that I want to play. So I'm going to have to, get you guys in on that. But anyway.
Yeah, you can take the blank ones up to Will Wheaton and he'll sign them and write something usually pretty
follow him on Twitter and he posts all of those and they're hilarious.
That's awesome.
So, I'm going to do that. We've got a bunch of blank. I want to do a pop culture expansion. That'd be great.
We could do that.
Doctor Who expansion.
Yep, that too.
Yep.
We do have blank ones.
A Whodiverse expansion.
And awesome, Glenn.
Let's see. I finally got to meet my favorite character from Firefly.
Yay! We didn't see you on the news. We figured everything was okay.
No, he sides with Adam on most of this stuff.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
As opposed to everyone else on the cast.
Right. I didn't. When I went up to him, I actually thanked him for being a conservative in Hollywood. I didn't bring up our argument that we had because he's not right. He's conservative, but he's not a Ron Paul supporter. That's where I fault him.
I understand.
Gotcha.
So, but he's still a great actor and a great character and a great person. And I got to meet him, shake his hand, get an autograph, and that was really awesome. And also, Michael Rooker, Merle. Yeah, he was also in Slayer, so I got a nice. And I got. I didn't get my picture with him, but I got some pictures of him that I can post later.
Good deal.
So he was very cool, and of course he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they're going to pull this movie off.
I can't wait. Did you read the trailer description?
I know what Guardians of the Galaxy is. I used to read the title, and I'm just like,
what's James Gunn?
James Gunn, he can do it.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I don't have anything pulled off. I'm just like, they're going to have a talking raccoon that fires guns.
I want the plush version of that. To give to my nephew.
That's going
to
be a popular toy.
Yes, it will.
I'm calling it now. That's going to be a popular toy.
Yep. Anyway.
I have to say, seeing Merle and T-Dog in the room together, interacting with fans, they were both amazing.
Yeah.
They were both really very interactive, posing for super goofy pictures.
Yeah,
and my
gosh. The one they did with the Walking Dead cast, or what they had of the Walking Dead cast, was like $175 for the picture. But people came in. There was a huge line. People paid that. And they came in, and like the cast was just goofing around. It was hard to get them under control. They were goofing around so much and having so much fun with each of the people that came in.
Stay in the frame, Carl.
So great. Yeah. And the Chandler Riggs was right there, and just kind of goofing around with them, and it was so funny. That's so great.
So like Michael Rooker is such a rough character on film. To see him just howling around with everybody and just having so much fun and goofing off was just really
that's
great.
And he and Norman Reedus were hilarious together.
They were
so funny. Gosh.
I guess the highlights for me was meeting Fred Decker, director of Monster Squad.
Yes, I saw him.
I got to spend a lot of time talking to him on Friday, and that was really awesome. And of course, he also directed. These are movies that I've done as guilty pleasures. Night of the Creeps.
Mm-hmm.
He also directed House 1 and 2.
Man's got nice.
Remember House with William Catt?
Uh huh.
RoboCop 3, which I'll forgive him for that. I'm a huge RoboCop fan, not a huge RoboCop 3 fan, so I did not tell him that. But
Robo Vampire or RoboCop 3?
Gun to the head.
Yeah, RoboCop 3, at least he had the gun arm and he could fly.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That's about all you can take away from the movie.
And I knew a guy that was a stuntman in the movie. So
there you go.
So that was neat. So it was just awesome talking to him, and then I also spoke with Robert Kurtzman, he wrote From Dusk Till Dawn.
Good.
And he also wrote and directed Wishmaster. Wishmaster. But he was the K in KNB effects. He's since gone on his own, and he still does effects, and he teaches effects, and he was there next to the three members of the Face-Off crew. And I just had a wonderful time talking to him Friday night, and I kept coming back the other days and just stopping by chatting for a minute, and he was just a really cool guy, very laid back. And
That's cool.
Carly's a big fan of Wishmaster. We both thought that it was very original at the time, you know. He had a stack of sketches that were original pre-production art from the movie, and I got her an original sketch of the first concept. The Wishmaster.
It's
very.
She's with it. She's gonna wig out.
Yeah. So that was really neat. Just chatting with him, and you know, I've had theories. I talked to people before saying, "Oh well, I always thought that From Dusk Till Dawn would have been awesome if I walked in the theater having never seen the trailer, because then I'd be watching this shoot 'em up movie, and all of a sudden there's vampires.
Yeah.
You know, to be caught off guard like that would be just awesome, and to actually be able to express that to the author of it his feedback was just an amazing moment, because we were able to discuss, well, obviously you can't do that because then you can't get people to go see the film,
the right audience
won't be aware of it, you know. But I was like, just I'd love to see the reaction of someone that was not aware of it, to see, you know, how they would take it and stuff. So it was just really, really neat having the time to chat with those people and talk about their projects that I've love so much.
That's cool.
Great.
So that was my awesome.
It was cool to tell John Barrowman, like, what a inspiration he is, and, you know, how awesome he is, and just, you know, just it's cool just to interact with these personalities and these, well, John Barrowman's more of a force of nature.
He sure is.
Yeah, yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I was hoping that he would, like, post more on Facebook and Twitter, and, like, kind of like after the con, being like, "Oh, hey, you know, I'm here at this restaurant. We're having a good time, and I could just hop in my car and just drive right over there."
Eddie McClintock did that a little bit.
Really?
Pete from Warehouse 13.
Yeah,
he did it a little bit.
Yeah,
damn.
He and Norman Reedus were yucking it up.
Oh yeah,
in the photo booth. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, there were some pictures of that.
Yeah, Michael Rooker was down at Third Street Dive.
Yeah. So Jason Momoa, he was wearing a Third Street Dive shirt when he came in. So funny too, because when he came in through the back way, and the cops were bringing him in, and, like, I guess he had them handcuff him or something like that. And when they burst through the door, Jason Momoa was like, "LMPD sucks," or something like that.
Oh my god!
Is that on Friday?
It was very funny.
Is that on Friday?
I am Drogo.
I think
because Fridays were almost running this giant gray wall. No, that was just his back.
Yeah,
and a gray T-shirt.
He's just, like, freaking huge.
Mike, I mean,
We unfortunately didn't get in his line, but we saw a moment with him that was just, for me, was hysterical.
Because you love her.
Oh yeah. Oh well, because it's freaking Jewel State. And it's funny because I've seen the picture of Adam and Jewel, which is just hysterical because there's Adam way up here and Jewel State way down here. And the picture that I have with Jewel, it's like almost the opposite, because I'm short.
And she's
not as short as she looks on TV. But, you know, I guess it was Friday. Jason was signing it at his table, and, like, two tables down was Jewel State. And somebody asked him a question. He just leans back in his chair, looks over, and yelled, "Jewel!"
Like kids in school, it was cute.
It's great, and
it's like a big reunion for them.
That's what I was gonna say. It's got to be fun for them to get to hang out.
Yeah,
maybe we got paid to hang out for the weekend, you know.
I like seeing the celebrities interacting with the other celebrities, like seeing Eddie McClintock sneak over to get a picture with himself and Adam Baldwin. It was just so cute. Like, he's holding his
camera. He liked doing selfies.
Yeah, he's doing selfies. Yeah. It was so cute. And, like, it's neat to see them interacting with each other.
Because Eddie McClintock, we didn't see the I guess there wasn't a Warehouse 13 panel, was there? That got canceled.
No, that got canceled because that was something we had hoped to see.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen Eddie, and I watched Warehouse 13. There's not a lot of difference between Eddie and Pete. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much...
It's like Nathan and Castle. And, yeah, there's not a, they're yeah, all sort of similar.
Yeah. But one of the odds, Christine, you got an awesome...
John Barrowman's panel.
Yeah.
He is the most amazing storyteller. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from being a great actor and like, an awesome person, he... Because you can be a good actor and not be a great storyteller. Like, mm-hmm. when it's somebody else's words, you're... fabulous, but when it's your own story, mm-hmm. he is a wonderful storyteller.
And boy, did he tell some stories.
Oh my goodness. I will never look at James Mercer's the same way again.
Yeah, he was telling the story about, you know, James Mercer's being on set and they're getting ready to film that scene mm-hmm. in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And
yeah.
We had heard James's side of it a couple years ago at Dragon Con. It was all very nice and la la la. And oh yeah, John makes you feel really comfortable. And he was all really nice about it. But when you hear John tell the story, it's a totally another point of view.
And oh, he had damn near had the room in tears laughing.
I'm so glad we recorded that because that's something I want to listen to again.
Yeah, and
I want to hear that.
I'm not going to say if it'll show up or not, but let's just say there might be some. You want to subscribe to the podcast feed. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
Good deal.
Yeah. Good deal. You know, like with Sylvester, you know, we put the Sylvester panels out. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to air them on Vogue and you know.
Podcast only exclusive.
Yeah, podcast or Facebook exclusive. Right. There will be some neat audio coming up.
But if you're an Arrow fan, there might be spoilers, so you might not.
Yeah. John let a bomb drop that you can kind of figure out.
Yeah.
But it just, when he said this, his face just went, oh, shit.
He went all white and then kind of red.
Oh, like, no.
Oops. Yeah.
Whoops.
It was kind of cute. And I told my aunt, and she's like, what? It was great.
Yeah. Oh, we weren't recording when you told the story about telling your aunt about John.
No. I tried to explain to her the idea of a convention.
Uh-huh.
And that people come and you get to meet them and get their autographs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so who's coming? Like Kiefer Sutherland? I'm like, no. Like there's a list of people and you know way ahead of time because they have to book them like a year in advance. And so you know who's coming. People just don't show up. And she's like, what about Grimm? Is Grimm coming? Because she loves Grimm. No, the actor who plays Grimm is not coming. It's just... Yeah, here, just let me tell you who's coming. And I'm like, well, the guy, I'm trying to explain Doctor Who to her, and that doesn't work either.
No.
And I said, Arrow, the guy who plays Tommy's dad on Arrow is coming. She goes, oh, really? I said, yeah. So she asked me the other day, she's like, so who'd you meet? I said, Tommy's dad from Arrow. She goes, oh, he's so handsome. He's just so cute. He's just the manliest man I've ever seen in my life.
Fabulous.
And I started laughing. I'm like, Eddie's so gay. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, married to her. She said, like, really? I said, married to an architect named Scott. She goes, oh, Chrissy. I'm like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and that's probably one of my biggest awesome of the weekend, you know, meeting and talking with John. Mm-hmm. But the panel was great. Mainly because he really says what he thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And during the panel, he called the con out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was not hard. He was not... you know, politic about it, you know, and being nice.
He didn't trace around him. He didn't sugarcoat
him. No, he just called him out. Yeah. And
something to the effect of, if you can't get me at the right time, or something about getting him.
It was like, ask for your money back, basically.
Yeah. So he was going, you know, you didn't get your picture. He, somebody, he goes, somebody said, you know, something about, you know, they've got kids, they got to get home by a certain time, and because if you can get your picture, you get your money back. And he's telling him, because if you're under 18, you need to be at home. That's the most important thing, your parents and all this. He's telling all these great.
He was riled up.
He comes out, he stops what he's saying, and he goes, they canceled Colin Baker's Q&A. It's not his fault. They're saying it's his fault. It's not his fault. And goes on for a couple of minutes about, it's not Colin's fault and all that.
Yeah.
And they tried to cut him off at one point because his
do that to John.
Well, the thing is that his thing was supposed to be from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't get started until 6:30 because everything kind of got pushed sideways.
Yeah.
And so it was like a little after 7, and they're trying to kind of hurry him along. And he stopped and he pointed. He goes, no, you fucked up. You're going to have to wait. And it was like, I love you even
you
more.
You fucked up the schedule. The thing of the quote is, y'all fucked up the schedule. Deal with it.
I don't think he said y'all. But
days.
It was I love him even more now.
Yep.
Like, I just have more respect for him now than I even did before.
When he got to the photo op, he basically kind of took over.
I bet.
I don't doubt that a bit.
Basically, and he stepped out to the front of the line with everybody, and everybody started cheering and stuff like that. It's like, hey, everybody! He makes an announcement of, just to make this go efficiently and smoothly, if you have a pose in mind that you want to do, just be thinking about it while you're in line so we can just do it when you get up here and we can get everybody moving, we can get everybody out on time and all this stuff. And if you want a hug, whatever, that's fine. Give me a hug, I'll give you a hug. That kind of thing. Set the boundaries, set the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And we got going. And he was in and out in like 20 minutes.
Nice.
It was crazy.
But if you do listen to the John Barrowman Q&A panel, I highly, highly suggest you go back to last year's San Diego Comic-Con Nerdist panel.
Uh-huh.
And
oh my gosh.
And look that up either on YouTube. There's a nice 20-minute clip of it on YouTube, uncensored.
Outrageous.
And then there's the censored kind of sort of version on the Nerdist podcast. But one of the funniest things.
Outrageous. Hilarious. Like,
yeah. One of the funniest things I've ever seen is this girl comes up to him and starts talking to him, and he starts playing with her boobs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And about 10 seconds later, Chris Hardwick goes, wait a minute, how old are you?
Yeah.
She goes, like, 18. He goes, oh, thank fucking Christ, or something like that. It's just like, oh my God,
Yeah, because he was kind of molesting a Thor during his panel.
God.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, Thor! And, of course, starts to go completely stereotypical, flaming.
He was beautiful.
Yeah.
Fabulous. He was just beautiful. He was just
awesome. Oh my God.
He was hysterical. Adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Did he sing for you guys?
Yay!
Yeah. Squeeze.
I was praying inside my head the whole time. I'm like, please just sing a little bit. I don't care what. It could be happy birthday. I don't care.
Springtime for Hitler.
Yes. Oh, that'd be awesome.
No, he sang The Doctor and I.
He
sang a verse of it.
It was great.
One of the questions, actually the only question I really found myself asking him was, there was a while before Attack of the Show went off the air on G4, and for a week he was hosting.
Oh, he was hosting, yeah.
Yeah. And it was around November, around Thanksgiving time, and there was a segment on there, this was after Attack of the Show had already been canceled.
Yeah.
Okay. They had like 2 weeks left. And so there was an episode where they were going through some of the Black Friday deals and specials.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, Matt Meyer, from also from the Nerdist podcast, just starts drawing dicks on all of the ads on live TV. And you see John Barrowman absolutely lose it. And, they're passing gum back and forth. Oh, my God. Anyway. So I finally asked him, I'm like, so did you guys get in trouble for that? Did anyone yell at you? He's like, he goes, no, because everyone was just having a good time and laughing really hard. We didn't get in trouble.
Everything to lose.
Yeah, when they canceled the show.
Yeah.
But on the clip is like just 11 minutes of them just drawing dicks on like this.
It's amazing.
I have no idea.
That's pretty damn funny. I didn't know he was on Tech of the Show.
Yeah. It's amazing. So I'll have to send you a clip of that.
But I want like a 3-hour show of like nothing but John Barrowman telling stories.
What in the hell are you doing, Kat?
Leave her alone. What's she doing?
Sorry, she was checking out the bags.
Yeah, she's found her way up to the microwave cart and is looking at the
Taco Bell
empty bags. Taco Bell bags.
All right, you put them away, aren't you?
But yeah, so I mean, like,
you didn't do nothing. You're just looking.
Yeah, but I mean, like, as far as like my awesome moments, you know, the fans really got together through all of the problems and stuff like that, and really helped it from each other out. There was a girl behind me in the John Barrowman panel who was really super fun and bouncy and had pretty much just like a corset on. So I thank her. I think she said her name, but who the hell knows? I don't even remember. She was just like, "I'm so excited about meeting John Barrowman." I'm like, "Yes, you are."
See, we had the reverse of that. I guess was it during the Shatner panel?
Orion Slave Girl,
and you know, if you're comfortable playing, if you're not of a certain body type, but you're still comfortable in doing spandex and wearing it, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a not thin girl. Let's just put it.
She had curves.
She had
curves.
A lot of curves.
Curves on curves?
Yeah. Her curves had curves.
She, yeah.
And she was decked out as Orion Slave Girl. I mean, the skimpy outfit and green paint and everything.
Yeah, she was embarrassing to
that. And she... Yeah, this was the Shatner panel, which makes it to her being in there.
She was a fan.
And she starts bouncing up and down. And we're behind her, okay?
With a triple in her hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, running through my mind, and I'm going to hell. If I'm not already going to hell, I'm going to hell for this. The Jello song goes through my head.
See, that's me.
It was lime Jello, though.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's like, no, don't bounce.
The only thing I can
think of
was...
Some
people like
that?
I know.
You can see giant swatches behind her knees where she missed the paint. And that was the only thing I'm thinking. I'm going, she missed a bit.
In her defense, I have seen much worse.
Oh, yeah, I've seen... The slave girl Leia that are like that.
Just because you can't...
Yeah, the slave girl Leia doesn't do anything for me anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen that way too much. Yeah, it is.
It was just.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, but you know, if you're comfortable doing it, you think it, more power to you for doing it.
He put up with so much crap. God bless him.
I want to go to one of his panels and just get up and say, you know, my wife knows more about it than I do, but just talk about horses. And to watch his face, he's going, okay, another damn Kurt question.
Uh-huh.
And then ask him about, you know, something about horses.
It was funny. Most of his stories were not Star Trek Shatner was telling during Skid.
Were they all T.J. Hooker?
There was a little bit of T.J. Hooker. T.J. Hooker was brought up more than once during the panel.
Really?
He talked about riding horses with Patrick Stewart, and that was fun.
And, you know, getting Patrick Stewart to wear pantyhose underneath the thing.
Go on.
Because the chafing while they're doing on horses all day.
All day. Yeah.
Patrick, what you need to do. And his imitation of Patrick's just freaking hysterical.
Yeah. Like, if his line wasn't long and I would have stood in line for Nick's autograph.
Yeah.
He's got this great line in The Captains, which I have seen maybe 1.5 episodes of Star Trek with him. I have not seen... I would like to, but I have not yet done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the only experience I have of him, really... is on the Captain's documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this great line about Avery Brooks.
Yeah.
How he thinks in jazz. He says, this man thinks in jazz. So if I had an opportunity to talk to William Shatner, I would say, look, I don't know anything from anything. I said, but I love that line. I said, what kind of music would you think in? That'd be my question.
Because
I don't know anything about his Star Trek era.
Yeah.
But it's like...
He went out like a punk.
It was so funny, though. There was this jackass in his panel.
Oh, this, yeah, the awesome Shatner panel.
It is something with a slightly irregular beat.
Maybe dubstep.
Great beat.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
But, yeah, the story.
For 10 minutes, this guy went on. This guy asking a question. He went on for about 10 minutes.
Oh, at the mic.
Were you being punked?
I'm an actor. And as an actor, what, like stupid questions, like what's your motivation and shit like that.
And, did you only get one question?
Yes, but he kept going on, and nobody yanked him. And at the end of which, how much, does anybody remember how much the photo op was Shatner worth?
It was
40, maybe 30,
it's been, yeah, 40. They're not okay. cheap.
Because at the end of it, he goes, well, since I'm a starving actor, and I don't have any money, can I just run up there and get a picture with you?
And the crowd went, boo.
And Shatner said no, because that wouldn't be fair.
Yeah.
Kind of. Did he say no at first? Fair. Well, as the guy's walking off, he walks over and stops in front of Shatner and gets a picture. And the whole audience booed.
I'm sure, yeah.
I'm like, he's going to need a bodyguard to walk down here.
The next guy to get up, just turns, looks at the guy who's over here and goes, thank you, Vinnie Barbarino.
Yeah. And then he proceeds after that. He says, okay, first of all, before I ask my question, I'm not an actor. And everybody cheers.
God, it was great.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Like, why would you monopolize? Like, they only get an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you monopolize? It's like the people in the, well, in all the panels. Everybody asks the same question.
Who was the moderator? Was there a moderator?
There was...
Yeah,
there was a guy sitting behind the desk, but he didn't really do anything. You just got up behind the microphone all in a line and you just asked your question.
Yeah, there was no one at the mic.
No.
To give him the hook.
Yeah, they needed
there were a couple people that had more time than they needed
to have. Somebody give him the finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just cut off the mic after 30 seconds or something like that.
Like, people asking stupid questions and it's like, what? No wonder they're bored. You keep asking the same, like, within the same hour. Mm-hmm. Two or three different people ask the
same
question.
Did you not listen to the guy 6 feet yeah, in front of you?
In episode 152 of the original
Star Trek,
did you really mean to pick up a blue pen?
There wasn't anything quite that bad, but some of it was
pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you a question of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you were to go back next year, who is the one person that you would like to meet, see, talk to, celebrity-wise?
Jenna Louise Goldman.
Like to see? Huh?
Jenna Louise Goldman.
You mean see again from this year, or you mean someone new?
Someone brand new. Okay, all right, so let me rephrase. So let's say that you decide not to go again next year. What's the one celebrity... Who, if they
I'm
announced...
I'm not going, who would change my mind?
Yes.
Exactly, yes. David who would Tennant? Change your mind?
David Tennant can change
another doctor?
Matt Smith?
Any doctor, really. Because it'd be neat.
Anything. Like, I would set up for a companion.
Ace?
I would love to meet her.
Change fanboy me.
She's wonderful.
She was my crush.
I met her.
I've seen, like, three... Since I was on the show, I've seen three complete Seventh Doctor stories, and yeah, Ace is kind of awesome.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah,
Nathan Fillion, yes, would be a great
one.
Well,
he was kind of here.
He was. And he's,
oh, yeah.
He was kind of here.
The phone.
They can never not do this again, because it started at Dragon Con or something.
He knows when somebody else from Firefly... is at a con. I swear he must have that on a, mm-hmm. Oh, wait a second.
Or they have each other's schedules of where they're going to be when.
Nathan called the cast during the panel.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He called the cast or the cast called him?
He called the cast.
Really?
Yeah, I get thinking of what
he called Jewel.
I'm sure they set all this shit up.
Yeah.
Of course, doing the riffs, he starts riffing on somebody that else that is on the panel to the person on the phone, but it's all on speakerphone. They all know that the person's there and they're goofing around.
He called. He called Adam Baldwin his best friend, and Alan's getting all sad because he thought he was his best friend. It was cute.
He's like, but don't tell Alan. And of course, Alan's sitting over there.
To kind of go back to another awesome moment, it wasn't like my picture, because I didn't get a picture with Alan today. But when I was at the photo op table, someone, I don't know who this person was, had the genius idea of bringing little toy dinosaurs to the photo op with Alan today. And they had this, like, it was almost like an awkward prom face. Holding two toy dinosaurs. And nice. It was just, it was amazing. Anyway, so I kind of geeked out over
that's
it.
That's cute.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
Arthur Darvill.
Ooh. Yes.
Anybody, but especially Arthur.
He's on Broadway right now.
I know! Yeah. Why are we here? Why aren't we in New York?
We have a podcast to get out for it. People depend on listening to this show every week.
The podcast from the road. Right.
We have many tens of disappointed fans.
Many dozens.
How can we expect them to take a bowel movement if they don't have our show to listen to?
But yeah, if Genevieve Coleman was here...
Who's no Chloe Kernel?
That's a callback.
I love it.
But yeah, if Genevieve Coleman was here, I'd
make her.
I would pay any amount of money.
I mean, Prima or
Prima, yeah.
Prima.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm sorry,
dirty old man of me is.
Yeah.
And you? What the hell are you talking about, man? We're all, shut up, we're all dirty, dirty old men here. Well, there's three of dirty old men in this room.
But, kids. I mean...
I can do it for you.
I do hope that they get some...
You're a little too pale to be Freema.
Some, you know, big name guests like this year. I hope that this year doesn't scare some of the bigger names off.
I would not be surprised if we don't see one and more Firefly boat. Mm-hmm. Emo, or
sadly, the 1 hour panel got preempted.
Yeah, and they were nice about it. John, not so much.
Yeah, no.
Don't give him the throat cutting.
Oh yeah, no. Now a quick question. Did he tell the diarrhea story?
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
Oh no.
Oh, the shit his pants story.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories.
Okay. If somebody asked him about the
nobody. Ever that I've ever seen entertain could make a story about shitting your pants so freaking entertaining.
No dumping.
It was no dumping.
Oh my!
And we took a picture.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! He was so funny.
It had her laughing at poop jokes. Okay, that's how funny it was.
Yeah.
Just the way he tells the story. Oh and my he god! Goes
from serious to this. Fascinating, great storyteller to fabulous in, you know, just 2 seconds.
Completely.
Yeah, just, it's a shift. Because somebody asked him, say congratulations on getting married and all that. And he goes into a story about how he and his partner Scott were deciding when to do it. As soon as it overturned, they wanted to be down there
So the government didn't have time to change their mind.
Right. Yeah. They wanted to get there so they could, he goes, in case they change it, he could raise the biggest storm ever. And I think that's what he said was shit storm or just...
Something like that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. But he tells the story about going down there and he and Scott were the youngest couple there. He was talking about all these older couples who have been together forever.
Like in their 70s who've been together 50 years.
Wow.
And they've had to live their whole lives in like this and they couldn't get this recognition and how emotional it was that they were finally able to do this.
That in their lifetimes this is something that could happen. He says, I've got another 20 years to wait. He says, these guys didn't. And it's like, oh.
And he goes and tells these stories, and he has you all emotional and almost in tears. And then he goes.
Dick just throws you for a loop.
And then he talks about shitting his pants.
Yes!
And it's just such a shift. And he goes, that's my job. I'm here to entertain.
That's what he said. He says, there are some people who just know what they're here on this earth to do. And this is what I'm here to do, and I have never had any doubt, and especially now, I have no doubt that is exactly what he's here to do.
Oh, yeah. And
in whatever form.
Telling the stories about Eve Miles and him filming on set, and how they'll do stuff when they're doing the over-the-shoulder shots in scenes, you know, the other actors looking you in the eyes, and of course, they're not looking down. So they're doing the close-ups, they're doing
all these
scenes.
Dramatic scenes with Eve Miles.
And she just looks at her and you got your cock out, don't you?
You got your balls out,
Tony. He goes, finally he got to the point where he goes, I can't do the scene, he doesn't have his balls out.
Bless your heart.
That's amazing.
And, you know, talking about this, how serious it was in Children of Earth, and he pulls the kid that's playing his grandson aside, he goes, here's how we're going to really freak him out. When they go to do this scene, and they put it on the head, start shaking really bad, and they have the makeup department put a little blood on coming out of your nose, it'll freak them out.
And we just watched that episode, like, the night before that.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, oh, that's just so wrong and wonderful.
Yeah, it was. It's the way he shifts was just amazing. And the fact he took the time to point out that, you know, this was not called, you know, to say to the well, person, I mean,
because otherwise the audience would never have known about.
Barrowman's what, 40?
40
something. Like, yeah.
Stan Lee is
90
something.
That's going to be Stan Lee. Then Barrowman another 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to still be going photobombing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell and, dick jokes.
And Stan Lee was great. He goes, somebody asked him, he goes, you know, what was your motivation to create this and do that? And Stan Lee's like, I wanted that check.
He says, I could lie to you and say it was some great epiphany. He goes, I just needed a job. I like what he said. He says, I'm not going to lie to you. You're too important to lie to.
Yeah, she can't stand Stan Lee.
No, I can't stand his work. I like Stan Lee the man.
Well, you can't stand the work you've seen. Now, admittedly, that mosaic was not that great.
You can't stand the work that has his name above it that he may or may not have anything to do with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I have nothing against the man. I think he's great.
Stan, I will do anything for a check later.
No, I love that he's in all the movies as a cameo. I think that's adorable. Yeah. I think he's great.
He's not in Thor Dark World, though.
He said it's going to bomb.
He's not? No, he said he was doing
all the things. It's going to bomb because he's not in it.
Oh.
I can't
watch. What's he going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy? Maybe Rocket Raccoon's voice. Go on.
What character is supposed to be?
Oh, they were talking about Andrew Garfield, I guess. They were talking about, you know, Spider-Man. He didn't want Spider-Man to be bi.
And,
which, yeah, you know, that's fine.
And he had guy kind of interpreting, but he had a guy sitting with him behind the desk because he can't hear for crap. So he had him kind of repeating the question, and
he got that.
And again, he says, "Did I know he's what? Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to talk to some people."
He goes, "I'm going to make some calls tomorrow."
You said it so like. 1-6 should be enough for anybody.
Yeah, or
I don't care what you are.
One sex is enough for anybody. But he was just so charming with his, you know, the questions and the way he answered them, and he was just cool. I'm like, I don't know nothing about your comic books, but I think you're great.
And that one thing I wish I could have gotten was because I would have kicked a puppy for to get a bumper from Stanley.
Gosh.
Trying to get in that line,
mm-hmm.
And of course, when you do that kind of thing, I don't want to just get in line and go up and say, "Can I get a bumper?" And not get an autograph or something. They might be willing to do it. That's fine. Celebrities, they usually don't really care. It's the handlers that have the problem with it.
Yes,
but it's like one dealing with that line, and then his autographs are freaking expensive.
$100.
Yeah, and I'm like, nah.
Were they?
Yeah, they're pretty pricey.
They're $55 or $60 or something.
I could have sworn it was $100.
Yeah, it was not.
Gene Simmons was $100.
Was $100. I knew there was one that was $100.
Yeah, Stan Lee was $60 and Shatner was $75.
Well, then shit, we should have done it then.
Stan
Lee didn't have anything to sign. You had to bring your own item up.
Yeah.
He didn't have photos or anything. Mm-hmm. So
that's why there's a lot of people selling Stan Lee shit to get signed.
That's the reason.
And, you know, because, let's face it, he's not getting any younger.
I know. I wanted to meet him my whole life, and I still didn't meet him this weekend.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He was right there!
I know. And the lines were so long, and I felt like I had an obligation to see everything, and I couldn't really...
Yeah, you know, I would love to do it, but at least we got to hear the panel. We've got some great audio.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that you just killed him. You're going to be dead by next week.
Aww.
Drinking, and we're all thinking that he must have one. Dancer and my daddy Hero Master when she worked at the topless bar. And he wasn't even jealous of all the mother fellas who wanted in her cookie jar. Lord, how he cried the day that she died, cause he'd never see her dance no more. But on their anniversary, just who did we see? But Mama Zombie standing at our door. Local dance club, what that man won't do for love. Step to the middle of a big dance floor. Everybody makes room for a man with a corpse. He's got that look in his eyes. He's ready to fight. Cause mama's going dancing down in southern Indiana on the evening of the 5th of June. And you find yourself thinking that you ought to be drinking in a club called the Paper Moon. Don't let daddy see your eyes filled with fear and surprise when him and mama walk through that door. There ain't no need to push your luck. Take your hat and tuck a buck and stand back and give mama the floor. Cause it's out of her blouse and away she goes. You ain't never seen a dead woman working the pole. Daddy rents a front row of the whole damn club. What that man won't do for love. He's making it rain for a zombie line dance with a tear on his cheek and a bulge in his pants. He's got that look in his eyes. Everything's all right. His mama's going dancing tonight. He's got a look in his eyes. Everything's all right.
Alright, we're back with one of Glenn's guilty pleasures, and this one, probably one of the more tolerable ones.
No, it was good. It wasn't just tolerable. It was good.
That's one of the more tolerable ones.
Compared to the others.
Yeah, so what do you got for us this time, Glenn?
Adult Swim and DC Comics present an amazing new feature, Robot Chicken DC Comics Special. So when I heard about this, I was like, wow, that's got to be cool. I mean, I was a big fan of Robot Chicken originally. I got the first couple seasons, and I just kind of got away from watching it. I haven't seen it in a long time. But when I heard about this, I was like, all right, I've just got to
have.
Yeah, must have. Must have. And I went and read some reviews, and everyone was like, man, it's only like, you know, like 20, 30 minutes. I mean, it's like short.
It's pretty short.
Like, oh, mm-hmm. That sucks. But there's like 2 hours worth of behind-the-scenes stuff, all the making of and deleted scenes, yep, and outtakes, cool, and all sorts of
crap. Just that one extra we watched was longer than the feature.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Padme or Bandabear.
Padme, Bandabear, what a baller name.
Oh, he's crying.
So, it's, if you know Robot Chicken, they take Mego-style characters. This one focuses on all the DC Comics characters, and they kit-bash a bunch of new ones. They take other types of figures and make their own, and they have all the usual mainstays of the Super Friends or the Justice League, however you want to look at it, mm-hmm, and then they'll throw in some really obscure ones.
Oh,
and,
yeah, like Captain Banjo or whatever, yeah, it was.
Oh my god.
Mr. Banjo.
I wanted to ask Brad, is that really, I mean, yep.
Apparently it is, yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Wow.
And then, of course, you've got the fun of celebrity voices.
Oh, yay.
So that adds a lot to the production value there.
Oh, yeah,
and you've got Nathan Fillion as
Green Lantern, which he's done on a couple of the direct animated features.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Alfred Molina as Lex Luthor.
Okay, that was a little, you know,
awesome,
kind of funny because, yeah, Marvel and DC colliding here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
true. Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Doc Ock.
He should have been, they should have had Doc Ock at something, just digging in, and, which I guess they couldn't for licensing for this, but
yeah. Right.
Would have been funny.
They could do, like a Marvel versus DC crossover.
That would be a good one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. The packaging looks like an old like 60s comic, 60s DC comic, mm-hmm. and the back of the box looks like an ad that would be in the comics.
Oh yeah, one of the old send away for X-ray specs and kind of crap.
And that's when you can get a piece of kryptonite or a Green Lantern ring or a freeze ray.
We've got a couple of Green Lantern rings. What are you talking about?
Yeah, really. And the basic plot is they've been doing Aquaman jokes like since the show began, and so they finally said, well, how about in this one Aquaman's can't take it anymore, he's had too much, so
go home Aquaman, you're drunk.
Yeah. So he kind of loses it, obviously not a real strong plot.
No.
No, it doesn't need one. It's a bunch of comedy skits, but it does have that through line of the story.
The invisible jet one. that was harsh.
Hey, Ross, invisible jet, come on.
So I believe it is on DVD or Blu-ray. I picked up the DVD the week it came out for like $10.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
I think its retail is $15, but I'm sure you can catch it on sale or whatever.
Amazon.
And it is short, but it's cool, especially the behind the scenes, look at everything that goes into
all the celebrities.
They've got
outtakes and stuff.
They got outtakes. They've got cameras in there while they're recording the voices and stuff. And they show you some of the sets and talk about the stop motion process and everything like that. So, and Robot Chicken is super irreverent. I mean, if you're not familiar with it, there's lots of cussing and things that you would never expect these characters to do.
But they're equal opportunity.
Yeah. But they bleep during the actual show.
Yeah, when it airs on TV, and even when you're watching the episode, they have bleeped out. Yeah. The offensive language, the offensive content is still there, whatever I would say. But then in the behind-the-scenes stuff, everything's uncensored. So you get to hear them actually recording the...
Let loose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting.
Indeed.
So, all in all, if you like to see your favorite childhood heroes trashed and acting stupid, then you will enjoy...
Or see them getting trashed and acting stupid.
Yeah. Lots of great gags. Especially if you're a fan, you'll get some of the...
In-jokes
and stuff. But even still, it's fun. I don't know if and when it will be, if it's aired or if it'll be on Netflix or whatever, but eventually it'll be available elsewhere. But until then, it is available to purchase, and it's the Robot Chicken DC Comics Special.
Yay!
And I think we all really enjoyed it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's one of the rare times that everyone gives one of Glenn's Guilty Pleasures thumbs up all the way around. I mean, it's no Sharknado, but
which I did order a Sharknado shirt. So,
I'm sure you did. Yep.
It wasn't here for tonight.
I don't doubt it a bit.
The design I picked out obviously has two of my favorite things: B movies and helicopters. Because this one has the tornado with sharks in it, and says we're going to need a bigger chopper.
Helicopter
on it, so I had
it'll fly.
Yeah, you can defeat a tornado by dropping a bomb in it.
Sure,
that was a whole other guilty pleasure.
A little propane tank.
Propane accessories?
Smoke alarm. Is it a smoke alarm and a flare, road flare or something like that?
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah. Well, the most unbelievable part of the movie was the fact, or was the part where Ian Ziering started a chainsaw in less than 10 pulls. So,
that too.
So,
DC special of Robot Chicken. That was pretty damn funny. I think we were all laughing our asses off on that.
It was good. It was great. Mm-hmm.
All right, and we will be back.
Bane show.
Huh? Say what?
Oh, yeah. That's Bane.
That's Bane. which would really have picked up the Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
My back.
It's like, I put my feet in the back of my head. All right, and we will be back with more pod culture right after we get over the stunning news of Glenn actually finding a good guilty pleasure.
That's Glenn.
House party at Arkham Asylum. I'm the Joker, the man, your host. Shake my hand, my fine cousin. You'll feel the joy buzz and it'll fry you up like French toast. House party at Arkham Asylum. Harley Quinn is your hostess today. Take the coat and the hat and give them a straitjacket.
Sure thing, Mr. J.
So join us at the house party at Arkham Asylum, where there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Cause we're disoriented as well as demented. Yeah, we've all gone a little bit nuts. House party at Arkham Asylum. Just forget all your toil and strife. Cause we run this asylum, so we'll be buck wildin' for the next 20 years of life. House party at Arkham Asylum. On the dance floor, the penguin is kicking. He did the serpent first, but around his head would, and then segued to the funky chicken. House party at Arkham Asylum. Just watch Catwoman dance to the beat. Cause someone said Selena, funky gold Medina, now she's writhing around in heat. House party at Arkham Asylum. And our DJ is driving us crazy. Because it's Mr. Freeze, we keep asking him, please, will you stop playing Ice Ice Baby? House party at Arkham Asylum. So riddle me this, my five guests. What you call it, this jockey who surmises quite shocking? I know, it's DJ Jesse Death. House party at Arkham Asylum, where there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Cause we're disoriented as well as demented. We've all gone a little bit nuts. House party at Arkham Asylum. Just forget all your troubles and strife. Cause we run this asylum, so we'll be buck wildin' for the next 20 years to life. House party at Arkham Asylum. Bring on Batman and all of his crew. Robin, Batgirl, and Nightwing will feel the grease lightning when they get some shock treatment too. House party at Arkham Asylum. The Mad Hatter zonks every complainer. Scarface wants karaoke, Clayface wants hokey pokey, Scarecrow wants the Macarena. House party at Arkham Asylum. On the mic, hear the maniacs rock. Just watch Ra's al Ghul go and kick it old school with his new rapping partner, Kid Croc. House party at Arkham Asylum. Bane just asked Poison Ivy to dance. She said, not a chance, fatty, because she knows that he just wants to get into a plant. House party at Arkham Asylum, where there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Cause we're disoriented as well as demented. Yeah, we've all gone a little bit nuts. House party at Arkham Asylum. Just forget all your toil and strife. Cause we run this asylum, so we'll be Buckle Island for the next 20 years to life. House party at Arkham Asylum. We've thrown out every film script. Keaton, Kilmer, and Clooney facing off with this loony, they'd all end up in a bat crypt. House party at Arkham Asylum. Tim Burton is here, we're excited. Though it may seem too fake, for reasons of good taste, Joel Schumacher wasn't invited. House party at Arkham Asylum. Those Justice League dorks aren't so vicious. Wonder Woman and Flash and Green Lantern got bashed, and the Aquaman sleeps with the fishes. House party at Arkham Asylum. Not even Superman could win tonight, because we rocked his boss with a 12-inch cut called Disco Kryptonite. House party at Arkham Asylum, where there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Cause we're disoriented as well as demented. Yeah, we've all gone a little bit nuts. House party at Arkham Asylum. Just forget all your toil and strife. Cause we run this asylum, so we'll be buck wildin' for the next 20 years to life. House party at Arkham Asylum. House party at Arkham Asylum. Let's adjourn to our maximum security boudoir and bring the whoopee cushion so we can make a little whoopee.
You wanna go for a ride on your Harley?
Yes, my dear. Let's go hog wild.
Alrighty, we are back with a little geek cuisine, and again with an adult beverage, a little lower in
proof
this time, but we have Mike's Hard Blood Orange.
Orange.
You know, we've done the Mike's Hard Pink Lemonade, the Mike's Hard Strawberry Lemonade, which was freaking awesome, Cranberry. Oh, good stuff, key lime.
I'm sorry.
But we got Blood Orange. This is their seasonal thing for summer. And we'll give it a shot and see what it says.
When he says orange, just cracks me up.
Say it.
Blood Orange.
Blood Orange.
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 Okay, drink.
I'm gonna drink some pie.
Drink.
Ma, the meatloaf.
Oh.
They all have that tasty. Same weird taste.
That's the malt liquor in it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's the malt beverage.
Can I just have the orange?
I like the tang there of the blood orange.
Yeah.
Very,
very blood orangey.
The orange part is good.
It smelled nice. It smelled really nice.
Oh, it's good.
It didn't smell as good as
the apple pie whiskey.
Yeah,
that they've either have heard us try or will hear us try.
Yeah,
either one.
Time you want me.
Now, what if... No, that probably make your head explode.
What?
Like vanilla, if you had vanilla something in this.
Glenn, you need to bring us up because we're orange.
Right.
And
right.
She just mentioned vanilla. Oh, so you were telling us about something in line. We are at Taco Bell. So I'm going to say thumbs up around everybody for the blood orange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I like the apple better.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of malt beverages except for Ovaltine.
Right.
Drink more Ovaltine.
Almost a spit take there. Almost.
You're going to make his new teeth fly out his mouth. They say laughter is the best medicine.
Forget to drink.
Except when your face hurts.
Yeah, where's my hypercodone? Good stuff.
Right there with your shot of whiskey.
So I was at the Qdoba, and they had one of those new Coke machines.
The Freestyle.
Yes. And, you know, I have experimented a little. I put some, like, vanilla in my Barks root beer or whatever, and it was okay. And I was looking, I was like, what? I don't know.
Adam.
And I look, and they have high C.
Really?
And now when I go to McDonald's, I always get the high C orange.
Because it used to be that real funky orange drink shit that they used to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I look, and they've got all these different flavors. They've got these funky, like raspberry lime or something. Weird things. Ooh. And I almost tried the raspberry lime until... I saw the one in the far upper right, and it was high C orange with vanilla.
Oh, it's over.
Beautiful.
And it smells and tastes just like a drink sale.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
There's no reason for any other button on that machine.
Uninstall the other ones.
Yeah, I found the one. So
your button, there can be only one.
One button to rule them all.
And we bring back.
Or the one, Zathras.
This is wrong drink for a drink.
So no more sweet tea at the Qdoba for me. It's always going to be the dreamsicle.
He does that.
Sounds like something you can get over at Sonic too, with all the combinations over there.
If you have a Sonic near you anymore,
I've got one. It's like a mile and a half away from me.
Both of y'all.
I live at like the nexus of fast food in Louisville. Like it's really.
Ours used to be the nexus until they took away our Sonic.
There were two near me. There was one in Jeffersonville, one in Clarksville. They both closed down.
Yeah.
Sadness. The only one now is the one across from Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've got five pizza places, not including the Domino's or the Papa John's. I've got two Panera Breads, two Qdoba's, two Jimmy John's,
damn.
A White Castle, a Taco Bell. It's over at Goose Creek in Westport.
I'm getting better just hearing about this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I live at the fast food nexus. And a Five Guys 1.5 miles away from.
Oh,
so,
But they don't have the damn Freestyle machine.
No, they do not.
Barker,
it's Five Guys.
They're
burgers,
so good. Oh, so, my God.
Anyway, so go on.
Five Guys.
So, you know, if you have a Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, check the IC out. Maybe try that.
I'm going to have to try that.
Orange vanilla.
Experiment. Yeah. Get yourself
sounds amazing.
A Coke. Get yourself a vanilla lime Coke Zero.
No. Ooh. It orange vanilla Coke. Dreamsicle Coke. And I would say this because you take... you know, half a glass of the orange Coke with orange.
Nice.
Half a glass of the Coke with vanilla. Oh, that's tasty.
I can't do the real soda. I have to have the sugar-free stuff.
You can't get do that with a Diet Coke.
It makes my head hurt.
Chocolate cherry Diet Coke over at Sonic is what I used to get, and that just
knock it off with the Sonic.
Sorry.
That's a sore point.
But we could go to the one by Myers.
I know, but the food would be cold by the time we get home.
There's one out at Preston Highway. You can go there if you don't want your order to be right. Ever.
Oh, the one out in Bullitt County, one out right at the Bullitt County line?
That's like my KC, or KSU,
yeah.
Remind me.
The Sonic out near Bullitt County is kind of scary, because it's Bullitt County.
Sketchy.
Very aptly named county.
Don't be racist.
You're racist.
Not all of Bullitt County sketchy, but a lot of it.
Yeah. But yeah,
almost.
But Blood Orange, good.
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 I can't say all because my girlfriend's from Bullitt County.
So. There you go.
My wife's
She's the anomaly.
She smelled good.
She made it out.
That was tasty, tasty stuff, and I'm gonna have to have another one at some point soon. All right. So if you can find it, I highly recommend getting the Mike's Hard Blood Orange.
I'll
put that down on my list.
And we will be back with more pod culture
right after we get more.
Yeah.
Drink!
Drink.
Drink, drink, drink.
Pod culture after dark.
Hey, it's me. Remember me? I'm famous because I blew up the Boston Marathon. Remember? I was a total nobody. My face was pretty spotty. Got ignored wherever I was. So I got me a big old crock pot and stuffed it full of explosives.
That's right.
Then I put my hoodie on, went to the marathon, where everybody's mind got blown. They said, boy, we're gonna get you. Then they put my picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Got to see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Cause I'm a homicidal mother.
Stone.
You get to see my
cover of the Rolling Stone.
Oh man, that's beautiful. They called all the cops in and they shut down Boston, scared everybody out of their brain.
Oh, that's true.
They interviewed my poor old daddy. He said my boys must have been framed.
What?
He couldn't believe what his sons had achieved. I'd have thought he'd be proud, but no. He was annoyed and bitter till his boy got his picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
I got to see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Wish I could send a copy to my brother.
Stone.
And he could see my smiling face
on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
The guitar with a crazy look in my eyes, and now millions of kids all over the world have me to idolize.
Oh yeah!
Forget music, just get a facial tick and a cooker and a cellular phone, and you can be a terrorista. You can get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
I got to see my picture on the cover. Cause I'm a sociopathic baby murdering nutter.
Stone.
You get to see my smiling face
on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone. I got to see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Cause I'm a bastard motherfucker.
Stone.
You get to see my smiling face
on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Oh yeah. Was beautiful.
I know we've been going a long while about the awesome because there was a lot of awesome, but I got to do one thing. It's like almost on our way out. You got to do it. Everybody knows, big Green Lantern fan. Big old Green Lantern fan. Classic Green Lantern artist Neil Adams was
Neil
there.
Neil Adams, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big honking booth, too.
Sweetest man. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he had these big prints and stuff mm-hmm. for sale.
And it said $20 for a print, plus $20 for the autograph. Like,
no, it didn't say plus.
It did.
It was...
No, it did, because that's why I handed you $40.
No, it was or $20 for an autograph. He'll autograph your item for
$20. I could have sworn because I was ready because I'm like, that's not even that
the
bad.
The way that we read it, and you know, we've gone to a bunch of other stuff that it's the photo and the price. And
for how nice they were, I wasn't even
related
because I'm like, they were nice. It was a big, nice laminated thing.
I mean, I went and got this big Green Lantern. It's a piece of classic art. Mm-hmm. print this time. You know, Green Arrow and Green Lantern facing off.
I almost got that one.
Yeah.
Instead, I got the sketch of Green Arrow firing. Mm-hmm. Did you see the one that looks like just the pencil art? That was
Fun. But we figured, you know, she likes Green Arrow. I like Green Lantern.
You can get whatever you want.
I know, but it won. That's an iconic piece. Yes. I really liked it. Yeah. So we got that. I got signing. I go to hand this lady $40, and she goes, "What's the other 24?" Then I'm like, "Okay." So I mean, it was $20 for this nice print, and we're over there talking to him for a couple of minutes, and he has buckets of candy and a bucket of pretzel rods. He goes, "Here, have a pretzel." Random. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really nice. And if you're a fan of his comic work, if you remember, he had his own studio for a while, mm-hmm. Continuity Comics, and they are coming back. He said by the end of the year, his characters Megalith and Samurai and Miss Mystic and Armor.
Miss Mystic and, Balls?
Yeah. they're all going to be back again.
It's so.
Decade Dance.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that was another getting like,
Yeah, that was awesome that he was there, and Billy Tucci was there, he was right next to...
So there was a lot of awesome...
a lot of awesome stuff, too.
Now, you were asking, who would you go back for? Did everybody finish with that? I would like to see some of the Game of Thrones cast, especially.
That would make me go back.
Especially, I want to see Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
Arya's coming to...
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You said what now? Go on.
Near. Arya is coming nearby.
Really?
Like, within the tri-state area. Hmm. Yes. Because I'm like, okay. I need to hog her.
I understand. I mean, that's a transatlantic.
Dame Diana.
Yeah.
What? Oh, gosh.
I would love to meet her, because she's my favorite character in the book series.
Me too. Like, well, please.
Yeah. Technically, the headline from Game of Thrones there. Jason Momoa.
Oh, well,
they did.
That's true.
But then, Peter Dinklage, I think. I would love to meet the Dink.
Okay,
a John Barrowman.
That would be amazing. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Convention
Center would explode.
Yes. Yeah. For me, and I'm not going to get into all my problems because it would be another 3 hours. For me, they've really got to step their game up. If they bring some really good guests, I might consider coming back. Something like a Game of Thrones, something like you guys said. That would get me thinking about it.
Yeah, a Vampire Diaries cast.
What are you talking about, Lost?
Yeah, someone like that.
Vampire Boone?
What about Agent Coulson from...
Oh my God. Oh, okay, all right. I didn't even think about that.
Don't touch Lola.
Holy crap.
That would be... Yeah, I mean, I would pay any amount of money. to meet Agent
Coulson. I don't know if anyone heard, speaking because we're kind of shifting, but he brought up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And we've talked about other Whedon guests that were at the con.
Yeah.
There's been set pictures and publicity pictures sent out of Ron Glass is going to be in the...
Yes. It's official.
He's like a doctor or something on there.
Nice.
But him or like really any of the, you know, the Marvel Avengers characters. Hell, I mean, you know, like even someone, you know, who was...
Colby
Smulders. I would love to get a hug from her.
Yes.
Someone like that. Someone from a show, like a Joshua Jackson. I would like to see a Joshua Jackson.
Aww.
I would love to see a Walter Bishop there. I would love to see the Bishops.
I would love
to see someone from Fringe. I would love to see someone...
That's my one sticking from...
Yeah. Well, you got Walter and Astrid going to be at Dragon Con.
I would love to see them both. So if they get the good guests and if they fix the issues, then I'll consider.
It's
a big if.
Yeah, I'll
big if.
I said before, and kind of starting from the awesome again, but we're kind of wrapping things up a little bit. I'll give them another shot. But they're gonna have to have something of this caliber. To try and pull in again, and it runs smoothly.
Now, I personally feel differently. I feel like somewhere between last year and this year.
Right. They grew too big too fast. So
like, kind can rein it in a little bit. Don't try to get so many Hugundus people. Mm-hmm. Like, try to hit, like, middle range and make it a comfortable experience instead of, like, a holy shit kind of an experience.
One or two really big stars and then maybe some middle stars.
Or maybe you split it up again. I mean, it started out Fright Night, and it started out, there was the comic, I forget what the name of it was, but he had a comic portion.
Yeah.
And then Phantom Fest originally was like some of the older TV guests and stuff.
Mm-hmm. One of the theories I read was that they had planned to split it up even like a 2-weekend deal. This way some stars would come one weekend, some stars would come another, and you weren't torn between...
So many choices.
Yeah.
Split it up into Horror Fest...
Fright Night.
And of course, then where does Walking Dead go? The Walking Dead guests.
Well, I think he'll have enough other big stars that would be in the Phantom Fest that he could have those at the Fright Night Fest, and that way everybody would go to that.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't need all the big stars at one. Yeah. You need to split them up, and it's
that, that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
I have faith. I think the intentions are good, so I have faith that it could be okay.
It could.
Anybody got any final thoughts? Do you want to go on final thoughts? Anybody that's got awesome stuff to
pick up? The Barrowman. The
force of nature that is John Barrowman. Holy shit.
The being surprised by celebrities you didn't think you'd like.
Oh, yeah. That was a neat thing.
Or that you had no the hell idea who they were when you sat down.
Yeah. When we went, there was like, was it Sunday that we were in there for like 6 hours in that one room?
Saturday.
And we were in there the whole thing, because we just, like, went in.
Because all the panels were all back to back.
Yeah. And then there was, like, one weird one kind of sandwiched in there a little bit. They were like, we got a decent seat. We're not moving. We'll stay here. Yeah, they say clear out, but they don't care.
Well, for that one, that wasn't that many.
But we went in, and it was Jason David Frank?
Yes.
I think was his name? Yeah. Green Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had no idea. I don't know anything. I have never seen a second of a Power Ranger show in my life.
He loves his fans.
He was
freaking adorable.
Yep.
And then you hear him shouting down at his autograph booth, Morphin Time! Like,
he was so nice.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Morphin Time.
But his panel was talking. He talked about, you know, the martial arts school that
he was very
teaches
well-rounded and stuff that he talked about. He was very
good. And then the green streak gets there.
Yeah, it was cute.
But yeah, him doing this and talking about that. And then
talks about the kids, and it was just really kind of cool. And I had never, and I kind of wanted to like approach him later on and go, you know what, I have never seen a second of your show, but now I want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were awesome.
Yeah. When I went to C2E2 this past May in Chicago, he was there. And he was walking around the con floor saying, hey, you know, hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
And one of my friends who was up there, like, about lost his mind when he got his picture.
Aww.
Loves the Green Power Ranger. And so, yeah, I mean, like, he's a very personable guy. You know, for someone to just, you know, like, get out of the booth and just walk around the con floor and see people in, like, Green Power Ranger shirts and just, like, walk up to them and, you know, just tap them on the shoulder and they turn around and they're just, oh, my God. You know, right there. It's kind of like when I... a couple years ago over at Wizard World, when I'm just standing at a booth and I turn around and all of a sudden there's Chief Tyrrell from Battlestar.
Yeah.
Right there, and I just about had a shit fit.
Oh yeah, he's all over, and Derek on the, like, after hours he goes down to the bar and drinking, and there was one
I about had a shit fit. But yeah, so you know,
Edward James almost would bring you back.
You're not gonna get...
I know.
So
you're not going to have the Bill and Laura show in Louisville.
But yeah, so, you know, like, I like to see guests who are very interactive with their fans. Very real, very interactive with their fans. Yeah. And, you know, my man, for the most part, we got that this year.
Who did he try to get a picture with? Was he getting a picture with Jason Momoa or Adrian Paul?
Yeah, it was either him. I think it was Adrian Paul.
It was on that side of the floor where we were standing in line, and he goes, can I just, really quick, just get a picture? Thank you. Mm-hmm. And, like, he runs up and he gets a picture with him, and then he goes, thank you so much for letting me cut in line. And then, he went back to his table. Like, he was just so nice.
Oh, that reminded me, because it was about the same time of kind of another awesome, I don't know, we're dragging on, but that's fine.
Adrian Paul's awesome?
Yeah. Christine and I, first thing we do, like Sunday, right? We go and get in Colin Baker's line. We were the line for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Then, like, you know, we're waiting. We don't know when stuff's coming. And then Adrian Paul shows up at his table. So, Christina.
I'm like, I'll go do this, you know, since there's nobody in line. And Colin Baker's, God knows how long he's going to be. So, like, I'll go do this for Nick and I. It was not entirely selfish. And then I'll come back.
Yeah, so she goes, and you know, but and while she's gone, a couple of folks show up, and I explain the situation. They're like, "Yeah, fine, I don't care." And then
he's just John, as beautiful in person.
And
okay.
Then John shows up. Then Barrowman shows up, and we're like, seeing that he's taking pictures.
Because I'm like, I want to get a picture of John. I just wanted a picture of him in front of the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't need a picture with him. I just want a picture of him in front of the TARDIS.
She goes, gets in line for Barrowman. I see her getting closer and closer and closer. Colin's still not here yet. And right as she gets about up there, Colin starts to come out. And then by then, there's some VIPs. There's two lines for every person, which gets weird. There's the VIP line and there's GA line, you know, general admission line. Which is fine, I guess. It's a little confusing. I think that could be figured out a little better somehow.
Just with lines, that's all.
Yeah, and so there was a little bit of a VIP line. I'm like, okay. So I told a couple people, you know, go ahead of me. And I went and met Christina over in Barrowman's line. Folks that were behind her, I don't care, and got in. So we got to get our picture taken with John Barrowman.
Oh, my God.
Standing in front of the TARDIS.
Oh, my God.
Granted, the TARDIS was at a little bit of a happy accident the way they that they shot
it's
it.
All perfect. Yeah. I don't care.
But you see, awesome. Yeah. That was pretty fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he was super nice. And he's not near as big as you think he would be.
Uh-uh.
Tall.
The coat makes him look big.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, we got an actual 8x10 signed by him, because when we saw him Friday, I got his book and got it signed.
He and his sister write a book together, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Several of them, apparently.
I know. I got to them.
And he goes, aren't you guys lucky? I just saw my sister last week and had her sign a bunch of these. So it's him and his sister have signed it now.
Nice. Which,
oh, well. Which is pretty cool. My brother to talk to me on the phone.
And, you know, so we did that, and we got... Folks didn't mind the week. Got back into our place in line for Colin, and he came up, went in. He was doing it, doing the photo ops too. That like $10 to get a picture. So he comes down to get a picture, and he was the nicest guy, you know, and
super sweet,
pretty super sweet. And there was a TARDIS down next to him too, so we got our picture with Colin Baker in front of the TARDIS.
Amazing.
There needs to be a Doctor Who convention like on this side of the pond.
There are. There's
Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah.
The one that we went to or didn't go to that Elizabeth Sladen was at?
Yeah.
There's Gallifrey 1, which I think is the biggest
California.
One.
California.
Yeah,
it's
out
of California.
Yeah,
California.
There's
one in Cincinnati. There might be one in Cincinnati. I don't know. I think there was one in New York, too.
PandoraCon or something like that.
It might be. I don't know. There's one in New York called Who New York or something like
that. PandoraCon is in Cincinnati. I just got a thing from Abby.
Yeah, we'll have to get that information from her, and we might go up for that.
You were talking about the Green Power Ranger earlier and stuff. At this upcoming, the 2014 Lexington Comic Convention that's coming up, it'll be their third one, they're having a big Power Ranger reunion.
Nice.
So there's going to be a lot of the Power Rangers there.
Wow.
Green Power Ranger? Amy Jo Johnson's still you.
I don't know who, because I didn't really watch Power Rangers. But
well, you see, like, neither did I. I just noticed the painting.
There's a whole bunch of them there.
That was back when I was working with Blockbuster, so I kind of got in KB and got better and got into it. So
that sounds cool, though.
It's pretty cool. So final thoughts before we close out, because it's getting hot and I need to turn on the fucking air.
I feel tired, but it was good.
It was good. Adam?
Exhausting. Things need to change. But personally, I had a lot of cool celebrity interactions.
And got groped by John Barrowman.
Got my ass grabbed by John
Barrowman. Price of admission, right there.
That weekend paid for itself. That 12 hours of work I did that day.
Getting your butt funneled by Barrowman.
All right.
Yep. Glenn?
It was a little tiring and confusing, and I'm easily lost. So finding my way back and forth was a bit much. But it was a big con with great guests and lots to do in my hometown. I didn't have to drive 6 hours to get somewhere. So what if I have to stand in line? I didn't have to drive 6 hours and get a hotel room and all the other crap that goes with going to Dragon Con or something like that. I had this big, wonderful con in my backyard, and I hope it continues.
Yeah, my heart goes out to the people who did drive 5 or 6 hours to stand in, you know, poorly thought out lines. I am hopeful for the con that it could be.
Mm-hmm. It's got potential.
Should be.
Mm-hmm.
After this year, I am fearful of the con that it is. So, I'm in the doubtful category for next year.
Yeah. Well, they know that they messed up. They know that they have issues to fix. Let's hope that they can fix them the right way.
They've got plenty of time to fix them.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, for me, I'm going to be the tough sell, I think. You know, a lot of things happened over the weekend. I'm going to be a very tough sell.
Yeah.
If they can get their
understandably
act together.
So.
Yeah.
You have that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so many things went on. And so, you know, just, you know, please, you know, if I had a chance to talk to, you know, the organizer, just to say, you know, look, please just apologize for what happened. Move forward, learn from the mistakes, and if everything goes, you know, fine next year, then we'll talk the year after. But, yeah, for me, I'm out for next year. I want to see what happens next year and then move forward.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Even if you change your mind, you can always go.
Exactly. So, anyway.
So, listeners, I know we always say, listeners, if you've done this or that, I'm going to put out one, and we really want to hear from folks. If you've had a con horror story, mm-hmm. okay,
yes.
or an awesome story, let us know. You know,
you
write in.
Like
yeah, yeah. and you know, call the voicemail line and let us know, or send us an email, or post on the Facebook pages, and let us know about it, because we kind of want to hear it. You know, we know what we do all the time. We want to know what you guys do.
Or where are some of the best lesser known cons that you don't really hear about that are awesome?
Derby City Comic Con here in town is a great one, and next year it's expanding to 2 days.
It'll be interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I knew the guys who were running the panel, you know, out of the booth for that.
Yeah.
I used to work with one of those. I used to work with both of them, a husband and wife tandem that were working with.
Very cool.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up, so we are out of here.
Cheers.
Be seeing you.
Have a good one.
Dos vidanya.
Bye, kids. Take care.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.